And Bill, say hello.
Hello, Steven.
That's creepier than... Anyway, we're having technical difficulties here, and we just couldn't get the phone signal with Jay Bird. So Jay is doing well. He's doing fine. We're trying to get it done this evening. Fighting with the computer. However, fortunately, Doc Boy Randy and Bass and Bill are here this evening with me. We are coming live via satellite to your headphones. If you just tuned in, we're sitting here in your car right now. We were stopping. This is in real time. So Doc Boy Randy and Bass and Bill are with me, and we're going to cover as much as we can this evening. Talk about the magic of Wabagoon, Doc Boy Randy.
It's a beautiful lake.
Okay, technical difficulties are us. The technical difficulties have everything to do with me. I don't know how to use a computer anymore, and it's a wizard box. There's a small wizard in this computer, and he does things. Well, you know, Dog Boy Randy.
You want me to talk about the Lake Wabagoon?
Yes.
It's a beautiful lake. It's filled with very picturesque trees around everything here. What's unique about it is probably its coloration. So what you find here is a lot of clay activity.
Clay activity.
But the fish are very hungry, you know, and it really attributes to the higher temperatures you'll see in the water. It acts a lot like a northern bay during the springtime. If you're familiar with that, it heats up quicker. That's a lot of this lake. That's what it does. Heats up quicker in the shallow areas.
I'm trying to find myself. Absolutely. Trying to find my center here. We actually saw that. So I can't say the R word.
Right.
But me
retired,
dumb.
Retired, right?
Retired. Yes. Me retired.
You retired.
No, not to be offensive. I am well within my Pepsi limits here. What's interesting with this stained water is what we're seeing is we had a bad cold front hit. It rained. We were actually freezing our stuffs off, right? This thing turned around into a topwater bite and bucktails in a in a day. me good.
They're shooting at us.
I'm doing great, folks. I am doing great. I'm prime. This is the best I've ever been. What we're seeing is stained water, shallow water bite on bucktails and topwater like a day after a freaking cold front from hell where you would never think that would happen. What are you thinking, dog boy Randy?
I agree totally, Stephen.
Thank you.
This lake is not reacting like a typical Canadian Shield lake. It is offering very advantageous muskies in this situation, which normally you wouldn't get. I mean, you get a cold front in another lake, and you're off it for a few days. But this
yeah,
one...
Yeah, we were talking about, yeah, you go anywhere else, you'd be struggling for 2-3 days or like second half of the third day before this thing came around. We're going, this is stupid.
Without a doubt. I've never seen a lake react like this. It's phenomenal.
For me, it's very odd where guide brain, I think yesterday I told you guys, I'm... Sorry, I'm glad this is not a video podcast. Me messy. Sorry, folks. If this is your first episode, just turn it off. This is pathetic. This is real bad. Anyway, my guide brain, I want to move deeper. I want to come off of breaks. I want to, like, the colder, the fronter, the worse the cold front, if you will. I want to move out to points and breaks and all the squiggly wigglies. It's like, just go deeper in the slop. It's kind of goofy. Like, blades, topwater, spinnerbaits, Steve's meat grinder. Thank you very much. You guys have seen that will come through anything. Get in really nasty. And these cold fronts where, like, we're talking to her back and we're texting back and forth. Sorry. I love Steve Herbeck, but possibly we might have had come up with a version of I... Folks, I apologize. We may have come up with a version of Iron Man, but I am Steve Herbert today. Guys, if you're not laughing, I apologize. Just turn it off right now. If it's not retarded enough for you, just turn it off. But the reports I'm hearing for Eagle, and I've been over an Eagle, which is... It's a reef bite. It's a deeper water bite. Herbie's cracking them on the Kraken, where we're on the stained. I don't want to say stained because the weird thing for this, in all seriousness, we talk about stained water and Wabagoon gets this thing for this muddy, dirty water, but you see them coming. Like, you have that topwater fish tonight where you're like, there he comes, right? They're blowing up on it and you see the whole fish. Or, you know, a figure eight fish where you can see the broadside of them. It's just enough stain to keep them shallow, but not so much you can't see the follows.
Yeah, it is a crazy, it's crazy weird thing there, Stephen. I mean, you're watching your bait come in, and every time it gets close to the boat, you're a couple feet out, and you can barely see it, and all of a sudden, it's there. But when a fish is following, it's amazing. I don't know if it's the coloration of the fins or what's going on with the backdrop, but they just seem to stand out a little more. So
they're just,
you know,
there.
And I have to double down what you said about the Steve's meat grinder. I mean, that lure is phenomenal on how well it comes through the weeds. I have not fished a spinnerbait yet that comes through that clean. So hats off to whoever created that.
I don't know, AMF. Stop asking for rebates. Okay? All right. I got 5 prototypes. I've got nothing since. So now, it's interesting. We're fishing with the meat grinder. So during the course of the day, like today was high bright sun, dead flat calm. Like it was nasty as you could get. And I've been an Eagle guy forever. And today, not trying to toot my own horn. Toot, toot. Right. We got a really nice win in the net. Big fish. Bass and Bill. Personal best pike. 2 days in a row.
Whoop, whoop.
Right. We're using meat grinders. Got a trophy class muskie. Definitely a trophy in Canada. You know, it's not a 40. I'll leave it at that. It's a little bit bigger than that. But we've got some nice fish where we're grinding the weeds. I think it's a percentage game when it comes to fishing slop, right? The more casts you have that come through that cleaner, the more op you're going to get the hit. The meat grinder sort of does that. But we're fishing wide cabbage, though. That's the one thing. If you're fishing milfoil, you're going to pick up more. If you're fishing, what do we call that freaking grass? What was the name you gave that grass?
It was just
spaghetti grass.
Spaghetti grass. It was spaghetti grass, what you called it, right? So the spaghetti grass, if you guys have seen it, it looks like spaghetti. I mean, that's why we call it spaghetti grass. And I don't have any jokes for that because spaghetti. Dave Chappelle, spaghetti. But I don't even know what that crap is. We have a weed guide on the Muskie 360 app, and
you should call him. It's very frustrating because I've really seen it popped up the last, you know, year or two, but it's frustrating.
Dude, that stuff gets in your blades, you're done. I've never seen grass that just stops anything. So it spins
exactly. Most of the time, you know, weeds you can kind of pull through, maybe salvage a cast, but anytime that kind of fazoli grass gets in your blades, you're done.
You're done.
You know, every cast you're just done.
So it's kind of nastroid on that level, but you know, getting in tight and I would say my assessment of Wobbegoon is more forgiving than just about any other shield lake, big fish, you know. Crying in spilt milk, you guys told me, I talked about last week with Jay, I hooked a big one, we look at the video, who cares, it's a fishing story now, but we got some nice fish. I mean, the number starts with a 5, I'll take it, right? You know, and seeing some good fish, so it's interesting as far as perspective wise, which bodes back to something we talk about all the time. The worst the conditions are, get on darker water. With if you're a Wisconsin guy and you're fishing, you know, clear water, and the cold front comes through, get on the stained water, whatever it might be. Anyway, so we're going to launch in here. It just boils down to this. I got Randy the dog boy. Randy, say hello again.
Hello.
How many times you gassed up my boat this week?
Hold on, I gotta run down and put a bag of ice in that boat. Filled up your boat 4 times.
Four times. And Bass and Bill. Unfortunately, Jay is passed out. He had too much fish fry tonight. Actually, we had too much fish fry, I think.
Yeah, actually, rumor has it Jay actually started in on the eggnog this year. Too early.
Early. Jay's on the
eggnog. So it's way too early to be hitting the nog, and Jay got it.
I just hit the microphone. That's what happens when you've been in Canada this long, right? Mm-hmm. It's bad stuff, really.
Yeah, all hopped up on syrup.
Randy?
Yes?
Are you shopping for vegetables?
No, I'm actually looking at ice prices right now, and today's a pretty good day to buy ice.
Folks, I'm sorry. Anyway, first one up, Eric. I know typically overcast days are preferred when muskie fishing. However, on this one, the lake I fish seems the muskie go crazy when it's high bright sun. Is there any reason you can think of? Temperature. Right? So we were just talking about that parlays in this. So, if you have a lake that generally runs cold and you get high bright sun, what's the sun doing? Is warming the surface. We saw that today. Literally, you would think I set that up. I read these things in real time. I just pulled it by email. What will happen is the sun's beating down the water surface. We saw a jump yesterday. What was it? 66? Right? So, I have 3 sensors. I'm going, Bill, what's it in the back? And he goes, leave me alone. And then I'll look myself. But anyway, no. So between my transducer on the transom, my trolling motor, And then on top of that, the Panoptix transducer with a run temp on. I have basically a gradient, if you will. And between the three of those, I'll see a synopsis of what the surface temp is. Tonight, we had some nice blow-ups on top water because we saw a jump of 5 degrees in 3 feet. You go, yeah, they're going silly. And there was not higher, brighter sun than today. It was flatter than a flitter. What do you think, Rick Dogboy?
You want to hear my answer, Stephen? Yes. If it's conditions like that, unless you're on Wabagoon, I normally wouldn't be fishing muskies. That's very tough.
Well, you're in the Merkel zone.
I went to here you can make it happen.
Merkel zone. I like it because it's weird. You just go. We talked about it on the boat a bunch where typically I'll be on the humps or the reefs or whatever it might be. If you're in stained water, those fish will gravitate towards the surface. So it's kind of interesting there. Let's see here.
Also, Stephen, if you get in those conditions, wouldn't you say maybe you want to hire, you know, look at some of those zones that have some shadowing or some sort of ambush points?
Yeah, absolutely. So you want to dial in that where we made a move today. I pulled in a bay and I judged the light all wrong, right? Where I pulled in and the light was going to be to our back where it's facing the fish in a high bright sun dead flat composition. I said, I screwed up. Let's go to the other side. And we had a blow up on top water. So if you're dealing with high sun, have the sun to your face. You need to be staring into the sun until your eyes burn out, I think would be appropriate, right?
Don't stare at the sun too long.
But enough to catch one.
Yeah, you don't want to cast a shadow on where you're going, but you positioned us fantastically where we were looking at the sun. Nobody was blinded, but yes, fish were caught.
fish were caught. Pie was served.
It was.
But anyway, if you were dealing with high bright sun in tannic water or stained water or muddy water, nonetheless, when the fish break the level of light penetration, whatever that might look like for you, make sure that the sunlight is coming at you. It sucks. And you're standing there going, okay, is there a wall of water? Or am I retarded? Or I've said that. I shouldn't say that word. But am I dumb or whatever it might be? If I'm a high bright sun, dead flat calm day, fish into the sun, look at the sun. It'll be backlit for the top waters or the blades on tannic water, whatever it might be, which is kind of goofy. If you're on clear water, go home and go somewhere else. You know, this fish are going to be deep. We've talked about it before, and it's the worst episode ever. Ken, my question is about night fishing. Do you or have you used green lights mounted to your outside of your boat to see the bait coming in into a figure eight? Dockboy Randy does a figure nine, which is kind of weird. A guy told me he uses green LED strips light mounted to the side of his boat. Sorry. Dockboy Randy, if you want to check out, if you want to see follows in Minnesota, right? You're not going to catch anything, but the greatest follow guide service in Minnesota. Look up Doc Boy Randy. Talk about your disappointing guide service. What happens?
I'm a little shocked you brought this up on the podcast, but yeah, I do a figure nine, which is one above the figure eight, which you know typically does seal the deal when the you know non-aggressive fish are coming in
for snagging whitefish, right?
And no, I don't fish whitefish, you know that. But yeah, when muskies come in, they typically hit on the figure nine, which I told you about in kind of privacy. But you brought it up on the podcast. But yeah, there's a figure nine out there.
I'm burning it. I burnt your secret. I'm so sorry.
Yes, you did.
So you do a circle and then straight away and then back, right?
Yeah, like a nine.
Like a nine.
Yes.
Folks, figure it out on your own. It's
and also with that, I'd recommend sharp hooks.
Folks, put a seven on. Clip a seven onto your leader, right? Just put that right on the leader clip. The figure nine, that's an old Canadian trick, right?
It is. My great-great-grandmother was from Vancouver.
Vancouver.
Yeah, by the panhandle.
So, anyway, Ken says a guy told him he used green LED light strips mounted to the outside of his boat to see fogs, and it doesn't affect fish in any way. Can you shine some light, pun intended, on this topic? Thanks in advance. I love the podcast, especially when I'm musky fishing. I also bought Steve's book at the musky shop on a trip to Hayward and have been learning from it as well, but haven't finished it yet. You have made me better. Thank you so much. I don't need to read on. Thank you so much for the accolades. I have found that light is a negative factor for musky. So, it's hard to say if green light, I've heard purple light, I've heard UV light, I've heard this, I've heard that, I've heard it all. If I'm targeting them at night, and the nighttime is the right time when I go dark, right? I'm coming in stealth. We're like SEAL Team 6. I want to sneak in on them, right? You want to come in like a thief in the night. For me, I want to have a headlamp on. I have these super cheap little like camp lights. You pull the top of them and they illuminate. So illuminate your boat somewhat. I think light is a negative. I've heard for years musky can't see blue, or they can't see this, or they can't see that. I think it's going to vary like circumstance to circumstance, where you might find a slightly stained water and green doesn't permeate the water column or whatever it is. I think your safest bet is to just run lights out and have ambient lighting in the boat. I think if you have something, we actually night fished a little bit the other night. Dock Boy Randy got a nice one in the darkness, in the cover of night. In the dark. All about Billy Squire.
Yes, I did. And I agree with your sentiments. But pretty much when you're fishing at nighttime, I don't like a lot of lights. You're pretty much, your eyes will adjust. You'll be able to see what's coming in. The only trick we did the other night was throwing glow sticks in our mouth. So then you could tell when somebody was really excited. A fish was coming in and you would see that glow stick and it's like, okay, he's got one. He doesn't need to say anything. I've got the net. The glow stick is visible. That is a big fish. So that's the only trick we do. Let that musky drop. Randy out.
Randy out. So anyway, what we want to do. Doc Bass and Bill, give me a beer. Anyway, open that fridge, Bass and Bill. You hear it? It's magic. It better be cold, Bass and Bill. Thank you, sir. Anyway, I think low light is the best light. I think that was a Pepsi Cola from the Pepsi Cola company. And
it was actually a Pepsi Clear. Rare.
Only available in Canada. So, Pepsi Clear. Why? Why? Why do you have to throw that in? So, Doc Boy Randy made me a snort fettuccine earlier. It was kind of gross. Tomorrow's crab leg night, though. So, we're about to do that. We call it American Blood.
It's our anniversary.
I hate you so much. Anyway, low light is best light when it comes to that. I'm trying my best, folks. I'm working with rank amateurs. Dylan! It means a lot to all of us that you share your knowledge week after week. After about a year of listening and studying, I finally put my first muskie in the boat at 34 inches. Nothing to brag about, but still felt awesome. Bullshit. That's something to brag about. Congratulations. That's awesome. A muskie is a muskie is a muskie. 34s and 54s are just as hard to catch. Great job. I'm happy we could help.
Can I jump in here, Steven?
It better be nice.
So, yeah, the first muskie I caught was 36 inches, and I remember that just like my first slow dance at my prom.
Now, the problem thing is Randy, the weird thing with Doc Boy Randy, he was homeschooled. And so he got kicked out of high school, homeschool. He slept with the teacher.
So, yeah, prom was in our garage, but it was still a memorable moment.
Didn't your dad teach shop?
He did. He taught me how to MIG and TIG weld, which is two different kinds of welding.
Wow. Did he get fired from homeschool, or was it just a snafu there and locally? And
We called it a misunderstanding.
I'm sorry, everyone. Rick! So I was casting a Titan, working above weeds in 7 to 10 foe feet of water, okay? Had a muskie smoke it harder than paws. Seen it happen. Never got the hooks in her. She even took paint off. Never got the hooks in her. Fair enough. 100 yards further down, had another follow chase. Hard, 3 figure 8s, then left. There's no real question there. So, let's say we have a fish smoke a Titan, and you don't get hooks in it. If they smoke it, we need to work on our line pickup. You might have too much slack line, or you might not be setting the hooks hard enough. Dive and rise is weird, where rubber falls and it takes a slack out of your line, and they always hit on the paws. Dive and rise, they hit on the paws, and there's slack generated. So rubber takes away slack. Dive and rise generate slack. So we want to be picking that up incrementally. That's a big word, folks. Everybody, you know, applause. I got that one out. Incrementally, everybody. Wow. Impossible. No one thought it could be done. Set the hook. Anyway. So let me see here.
Do you want my take on that?
Yeah, let me hear it.
Great with all your advice, Steven, but my only concern is, why is paint coming off the lure? So maybe they need to, you know, put a couple more coats on there, some lacquer or something. That's my only concern.
Liquored up and lacquered down. You know what? Big fish hit something, paint's coming off. If you ain't rubbing, you ain't racing. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know what? You don't know nothing about Dale Jr., much less the legend number 3. It's pathetic. Pathetic. You don't even know what to say. You know what? With number 3 drove up, you're screwed, son.
I'll be honest with you.
That Chevy runs like a scalded dog!
Nobody probably wants to hear this, but number 3 was a Xander fisherman. I'm telling you that much. He caught Xander. That's it.
That's pathetic.
Hey, Xander.
Nobody wants to hear that. This is why we don't have a North versus South podcast. So I'm looking at Blake.
Would you like an apple for this question?
I would like an apple. That one's rotten. That's disgusting. Kobe.
Nice one.
Kobe. So anyway. Blake Darnell, we're not laughing at you. We're laughing at another Blake. Anyway. I just took a bite of apple on a podcast. I'm sorry. So I'm looking to buy a new net. I've heard from several people that the knot-free rubber mesh is the best material to have. However, I see a lot of big names in the sport, as well as the majority of amateurs, using the thicker rubber-coated nets. Guess I'm asking, which is what material better in regards to not hurting fish, while still being enough to prevent them to bite through? Okay, so, to dispel a myth, why I eat my horse apple. Capital gums, lowercase teeth. I'm working with it. What do you think, Dog Boy Randy?
My opinion on nets?
No, just my teeth.
Yeah. You got a horse mouth there, buddy.
What? He said horse mouth.
You get, yeah.
I get a little overbite when I catch a fish.
I can definitely
tell
you played some hockey.
I did.
A picket fence over there.
It's horrible. Anyway, you know what? I'm just going to tell you guys this. Forget Toe Blake. Forget old time hockey. We can't even go there. you're going to tear the fins up on a fish no matter what you land them in. I've seen, like, you have the conservation nets where it's like this plastic kind of thing, and it's purported to help the fish. No matter what you do, is going to do physical damage to a fish, to its fins, because they're kicking in the net, they're doing this, they're doing that. I like the bags that I like bags. Randy, Dog Boy Randy, you like bags?
I do like bags, mostly bags of ice that I actually service several boats a day. I do 5 pounders.
5 pounders? Mm-hmm. Have you ever serviced a 10-pound bag? Have you ever loaded Herbeck's boat with a 10-pound bag?
That's too large, Steven. I handle 5-pound bags, like I said before.
But fantastic. No. So, anyway. Herbeck has a 10-pound bag. Anyway.
His boat requires a tremendous amount of ice. More than
the average boat.
Yeah. And the only other boat that took that much ice was Steven Seagal.
Folks, all day long we've listened to Steven Seagal strut on Spotify. Please listen to that song.
On loop.
It's kind of horrible. Anyway. Find yourself, Steven. Composure. You're a professional. Long story short, the composition of your net will do nothing for these fish. What I find is more important is a net that will not allow the hook to penetrate into the net itself. So we've had it happen. I've had it happen. You've had it happen. Everybody happened. Muskie's in the net and he's rolling around. And now the hook is through the net, some part of the webbing. And it's connected to the fish and they're rolled up like a sock. That's probably the worst case scenario. It makes me madder than hell. And now, inevitably, they have a piece of netting behind the mandible, right? So you got that little weird mandible thing that hangs off their head. Now they're in the net and we're trying to fool with that, right? That's problematic. I like the clam nets and I like the Frabel big game nets because they're coated with the rubberized surface. I think that probably takes less slime off them, but we're having negative impact no matter what we do. You land them in a cradle, right? I laugh about cradles, which is a musky cradle flatly. You have to play them down to death, right? The fish is gasping for his last breath before you can land him in a cradle. And we thought that was great. Or we have a big net or whatever we have. These fish cannot, they're not going to positively respond to any of it. So the bag is a mute point. Find a bag and a net that is going to be big, so it gives them room to not thrashing as much. And a netting material where they're not going to hook the hooks that are outside their mouth into it as much. That makes sense to you. I know you've caught some big fish. What do you think about bags outside of ice bags?
It does. I have a little different perspective. So when it comes to like the musky cradles, I was a little concerned that it would make them feel claustrophobic. Hugging them in tightly. So a lot of people don't understand the claustrophobic musky, but I was keenly attuned to it. But I agree with your opinion when it references the bags or the sack nets.
I'm so sorry. So, you just did that on purpose.
Yes. Honestly, the thicker
bag, the better.
The thicker the material, yes. Because I have seen some of the thinner material nets where they do get ripped through, and unfortunately, whether it's a hook or the fish gets caught in there, they can tear a pretty wide opening into those thinner sacks, nets, then into the sack. And escape.
God, I'm so sorry. Long-term listeners, I'm sorry. New listeners, I'm sorry.
as you know, you can repair it with, you know, some, I don't know.
Did you ever see my friend from the Netherlands and his sack ripped? And he said, oh, no.
Team,
my sack.
Team. Yes.
So Tim lost the biggest fish of his life last year due to a rip sack.
And that was, wasn't it almost like a 1.2 pound bluegill?
Yes, it was. He caught it on a power bait.
And a dock.
At the docks. So, folks, if you want to catch 1 pound bluegill at the dock, I am retarded.
And if you do see Tim, thank you for the tip. I gave him 6 pounds of ice.
6 pounds of ice. You know, when you buy a five... So, proportionally, right? If a man orders 5 pounds of ice at the dock and you give him 6 pounds, how much of a tip do you expect?
And normally, it's just, you know, a dollar or two. Or if they have a piece of fruit on the boat, I'll take that as well.
Live on tips and give away food.
Yeah, but the tricky part, I'm sorry, Steven. Mm-hmm. I sell 5 pound bags of ice. So for me to get down to like a 6 pound, I have to actually subtract ice from a second bag.
So somebody's getting the shaft. How many 4 pounders you said were 5 pounders?
I'm sorry I talked, Steven. Actually, the resort loses money because I pour out some of the ice to make it a 6.
So anyway, I don't know what's happening. We're talking about bags of ice.
Do we need Pepsis?
There's Pepsis happening. Pete! Love the pod. Been a listener from the beginning. Love the cars with Benjamin Orr and Ocasek. Absolutely. Love Eddie and Van Halen. A lot of love. Absolutely. Here's my question. Big tourney coming up next week with forecast showing 95 to 97 on Saturday and Sunday. I'm fishing a trophy quadrant with a lot of clear water. I'm thinking attack deep weed edges with blades and rubber in the early morning and then take a nap unless there's a moon phase midday. Now, my weakest game is hitting the basin, but willing to do it if I can find Cisco perch bait fish pods. They can swim in dogs or depth raiders. What do you think? So, I have a tournament. And I'm not a loser! Are you a loser, Doc Boy Randy?
Not according to my mother.
Now, she told me last night you were a loser. Just...
Dorothy Mantooth is a saint.
Anyway, so... If I'm focusing on tournament situations, the classic shallow mid to deep mid to shallow is going to work, right? So... Fish will move in, fish will move out. I'm really going to look at my moon phase on the 360 app or whatever we want to use. There's a lot of fish. We were talking about last night. You know, I call it was what it is. You know, you'll see a lot of fish in open water on panoptics in the middle of the day or whatever it might be. Most fishing terms are caught at sunup or sundown, right? Or some major, some minor. So be aware of that. How do I dial in or stay in? It's an hour by hour. So like having a 45 minute or 1 hour game plan is going to be important if you want to win a tournament. Break it down in small bites, right? So what I would focus on is if I have a pattern, there's bait fish in the shallows and they're working the weeds or whatever they're thinking about or whatever. Right. So I've got a littoral zone. They got a mid depth zone. So I want to have shallow weeds to target, shallow vegetation to target, shallow rocks to target. Now I need rocks and weeds. So you need a combo plan. Now you need rocky points or just soil points. Right. So have a encompassing game plan across the board. Midday, I would probably troll. And by troll, I mean, let's just say, I don't know, coming up, whatever the moon phase is for you. Let's say the majors and minors are done by noon. and they don't fire back up until 4. Open water troll, right? But open water troll to cast off a brig or something of that nature. You might pick one up, and a lot of times you pick one up in the middle of the day, or you pick one, that odd fish, you get a 35 in the middle of the day. That might be the one that puts you over the top. Doc Boy Randy's never lost a tournament. Now, most of his tournaments have been fist fights and drinking tournaments, but how do you win?
So my opinion of their strategy is to hit shallow, mid-depth, and deep. You kind of look at that. Judge where the bait fish are at. If you haven't struck anything, put yourself, like, let's say it's a major or minor, go ahead and put yourself on where those tight lines meet the wide lines. Put yourself in an advantageous position where you think fish will be, and if you haven't seen them, go there. But otherwise, my other tournaments I think Steven's referring to are pickleball, which, yes, I have done very well. In the local circuit, and it's mostly doubles, not singles. So I do have a partner.
I'm sorry, folks. You know, sometimes you, when you hit rock bottom, you know it. And I'm there. I'm just there. And here I sit with Doc Boy Randy. He every night I come in, right? The boat comes in, and I've got Bass and Bill on the boat, and Bass and Bill, fine gentlemen. Right from it's as classy as they come. Right, the cream will rise to the top. Right, and then you got Dog Boy Randy. He's down there. He's in Chance. Right, so I think they're jorts, but they're Chance. Right, because it gets cold up here, and Crocs, no shirt. Is that your typical uniform, Dog Boy Randy?
Yeah, I would say for about 3 months out of the season, it is definitely Crocs, and I cut my own shorts. So this season I am going with corduroy, mm-hmm. which is obviously you can hear me coming down the dock with your ice because it's like zip, 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 zip.
You put the dips. So Doc Boy Randy seems to, like, he'll fill your cooler up, and it's disgusting, right? He just kind of lingers around. So how many loonies did he get today?
I would say probably around, I don't know, 7.
Right, okay.
There's just a lot of awkward questions and some strange boats, and just the way they pull into the dock is sometimes odd. But they all want ice, and I give it to them.
So, sorry, everybody. So, on a typical day, right?
Like a Tuesday?
Right. Tuesday. What do you do with the walleye guts?
Most of the walleye guides, I tell them to go to a different lake, actually.
With the walleye guts.
Oh, the walleye guts. I'm sorry. I thought you said guides. Uh-huh. Sorry, you get that big microphone. I just have a small one. The walleye guts, normally I take them outside of the dock range, which I call my ice range.
Right.
And I take them out there, and I feed the local wildlife.
So tell me about your nastiest deke.
My nastiest deke? Like, are you talking hockey?
Yeah.
Are you a hockey player, young man? A
little bit.
Okay. Well, my great-great-grandmother was, like I said, from Canada, uh-huh. in the Vancouver area. So I would say my favorite deke is right, left, up, down, left, right, left, right, left, right. I call it the Contra.
Up, down, right, like, start. We were talking about NHL 96. I just apologize, everybody. I give up.
Yeah, I always shoot from the top of the purple or blue crease. Those, and it goes in every time.
Every time. Cam Tubes. Have never thrown them. Want to start. When? Where? Why? What am I doing? fish on deep edges, right? So, I think I just died. I think I'm dead. Am I dead?
Yeah, would you like Randy to defib you?
I can't see on my left eye. Anyway, so Cam, if we're fishing tubes, we're focused on fish that are on deeper edges, whether it be 8 foot, 10 foot, 12 foot. So over humps, bottom contour, something of that nature. So you have a deep weed edge. Tubes are going to be really, really excel there where we're working from shallow to deep, if you will. I don't see a lot of return on shallow tubes in the littoral zone, like the tight, tight stuff. So if you got 1 foot, 2 foot weed tops, move on. But if you're looking for negative and neutral fish that are off that, for lack of a better term, there's a break in the weeds, right? So it's not a break line, it's not a pure contour, but you'll see, or a pure contra, if you will, you'll see, I got the thumbs up from Randy the dog boy, you'll see the weeds will come out, and at a certain point, they'll taper down. Tubes really excel there where we're trying to get a cast off of that and work that deeper edge. If they're up super shallow, blades, topwater, crankbaits, whatever you find. Randy, what's your favorite tube?
I'll be honest with you, Steven. There's like two things I'm serious about.
Uh-huh.
One is ice and two is tubes. Right. So this question hit right in my wheelhouse. Basically, tubes, I love them. They're so versatile. You can use them shallow, mid, deep. You know, just depends how long you want them, how you want to work them, but it is a phenomenal bait.
Great. That is the sage-like advice from Dog Boy Randy.
Mic drop.
Mic drop. Folks, I apologize. And you go, will Dog Boy Randy ever be back? Who knows? You never know. One more. Drew, I'm a big fan of the show. I was wondering if you could give me some advice on a lake in Wisconsin. So the lake you're asking about is a big tiger lake, right? Every part of the lake seems so good. There are weeds everywhere. Do I dissect the lake and determine which weeds are worth my time to fish? So I'm not going to spot burn your lake, but that lake gets super choked, okay? So what you'll find... And it both, it's always funny. It's like karmic. So we talk about weeds. We talk about this. And Doc Boy Randy, he'll load you up with ice and he'll load you up with advice, right? So he's like Tiger Woods' caddy. He brings you 5 pounds of ice and he goes, you know what? You want to get out there and you throw a tube. You're going to get one. Big one. See me. Don't forget the 5 spot when you come back, right? He lives on this. Doc Boy Randy is living under my cabin right now. It's very uncomfortable. I didn't ask him on the show, but last night he pretended he was a lynx. It's very uncomfortable.
And I would just like to remind people that, you know, just a few months I work here supports me for the full season. So during the wintertime when nobody is requesting ice, this actually pulls me through those difficult times for me and my family. But reference to his question, first off, I'd probably avoid Wisconsin and either come over to Minnesota or okay. Canada.
Stop. Doc Boy Randy is jaded and twisted. He's a horrible person. The lake you're talking about has a ton of big tigers in it. And what will happen by early July... That lake is super choked with weeds. So what you need to do is focus on open water and edges. Just like we were talking about tombs, there's an opportunity there. There's so much slop there that it becomes a mute point. You might find yourself where you're like, okay, where do I start? Find the open water. There's a couple of lakes in Wisconsin, which is a great place to fish, Doc Boy Randy.
You said slop. I'm like, I know how you boys like them sloppy over there.
Anyway, find the open water and target the outside edge. Because what will happen, the slop for a muskie becomes such a jungle. Wah! It's such a jungle. You can't really make anything happen. It becomes horseshoes and hand grenades, where the small pocket of open water there, you can target with mid-running depth baits, maybe glide baits or dive and rise baits, and get a fish to come off the edge because they're going to predate from those edges. Focus on that, and it's going to get you done. Bass and Bill, grab me a beer.
I don't mean to turn the tables on you here, Stephen.
Yes, sir.
What are your thoughts on bringing a banana in the boat?
So, Bass and Bill, pretty much, there it is. The world class Pepsi Clear. Pepsi Clear. We call it Canadian Clear up here when you're north of the border there, Dog Boy Randy. Bass and Bill's brought the biggest banana on the boat I've ever seen every day.
Yeah, I agree. I've never seen him like even take the peel off, but yeah, he's big, big banana out there.
Folks, right now Bass and Bill is peeling the banana he brought in the boat, and I'm dead inside. It's a good source of protein. And calcium.
Right. My great grandma said potassium, the big P.
Folks, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for everything I've done. My life is a lie, and this is sad. So, Doc Boy Randy.
I would like to close with tip your Doc Boy.
Right.
When he brings you 5 pounds of ice.
That's heavy.
Yeah, it is heavy, and it needs to remain cold. So please tip him well.
So, let me plug my computer. What advice would you have for aspiring doc boys?
A lot of it is attention to detail.
Mm-hmm.
That is big. So if you see two boats coming in at the same time,
that's impossible. How do you even?
Well, hold on there.
Hold on. Mind bender.
You know, hypothetically, let's
one dock boy and two boats.
All right, Stephen. Hypothetically, let's say Craig called
two crest liners, one
came
one,
in late again.
Gideon,
so
called
I'm
off.
On the dock by myself. Two boats are coming in. One's a 14-foot aluminum, and other one is a 20-foot wake boat, you know, playing that rap music. Go to the wake boat. They're probably going to tip you better, so serve them first. Give them their ice, and then get to the smaller boat. So that's probably the best advice.
Can't boast your trash?
Yeah, a lot of the times they are, because they tip towards the end of the week, where I kind of rely on that daily. I call it currency transfer.
To get your thunder hooch.
No, currency transfer is what I said. That's what happens daily.
Uh-huh.
Currency transfer for us.
Because you're a professional.
I am a
professional. Are you a part of the Dock Boys Union?
There is no union yet, but we have threatened to unionize.
Oh, no.
Yes. So,
how does it feel to be a late 40s, early 50s doc boy? Is that offensive when we call you a doc boy, or should we call you a doc man?
I just go by, you know, doc person, or hey you with the ice. I'll go towards your boat, but for the most part, just make eye contact with me and just keep it
professional.
Yeah, keep it professional, because I am providing a service, and a good one.
Right,
because my ice is
the coldest?
I don't know if you can. I mean, who's really to say who's got the coldest ice? Right. Come on, Steven. But, I mean, mine
Sorry
is.
Sorry for the ridiculous question.
Once it melts, it is clear.
Uh-huh.
So it's good ice.
Wow. Do you harvest that yourself?
And, well, technically, if you call it harvesting, getting out of that kind of cooler looking machine, that's what I do.
Uh-huh.
I think it's filtered. So that's where I get it from. And yeah, for the most part, it's clear. And I harvest it.
Why can't your kids see you on the weekend anymore, Dog Boy Randy?
I tell them that I'm actually an ice farmer. But yeah, that's a tough subject. I don't know if I want to cover that in the podcast, but yeah, I do. My kids will see me someday. I mean, they have Facebook.
What's your favorite kid rock song when you're grilling alone?
That one that sounds like Flintstones, that Yabba Dabba Doo one. I don't know how to say it exactly, but it's pretty good.
Right. Anyway, all right, folks, I give up. I'm tapping out. It's a tap out. All right, Doc Boy Randy, say goodnight.
Good night, everybody.
Say goodnight, Bass and Bill.
Good night, Steven.
Tip your Doc Boy.
Later.